Well, I'm back, and we're going to be joined here in a moment by Hans Tamamagi. You know, it's always an interesting segment and a pleasure to chat with travel journalist Hans Tamamagi. Good morning, Hans.
Good day, Roy. How's it going?
Ah, good day to you as well. And that brings up, I understand, we're going to be chatting about a grassroots article you've written, Australia. I know they say, good on you, mate.
Indeed, it's a beaut country, and it's Sydney in particular is a bonzer city.
Yeah, Sydney's terrific. I haven't been there for a while, but I actually worked for Qantas Airways for a while, and so I got to spend a fair amount of time in Australia, and some of the places that you mentioned, Bondi Beach and some of these others, are just phenomenal.
Yeah, there's no question. Sydney is one of the greatest cities in the world. And particularly for me, one of the best things was just living on the ocean and enjoying, you know, the ocean, the beaches, and all that. I mean, when you come from, I grew up near Niagara Falls, and sure, we had the Great Lakes, but it's not the same as the ocean.
So you got a chance to take a whim and went with your wife, kissed goodbye to the high-stress jobs, and left to spend the winter in Australia. What a nice thing.
Yeah, we effectively took between 3 and 4 months and just decided to go off, and I was able to arrange a few little jobs while I was there as well, just to keep a little busy. But most of the time, we just toured around and really, really enjoyed the ambience, the wonderful friendliness and warmth of Sydney and Australia.
Well, I find that Australia is a very easy transition for Canadians and Americans. Primarily, they have, in terms of Americans, they have a similar sense of humor, as where, you know, it takes a little, you go to the UK, you go to Britain, and it takes them a little while to warm up to you sometimes. But in Australia, you know, open arms, friendly people, good times, and as you say, it's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, I don't think there's a friendlier country in the world. As you say, in Britain, there's still a bit of a class structure, a bit of reservation amongst the people. In Canada and the United States, it's less so. But in Australia, there's no class structure. There's no reservation. Everybody is friendly and trusting and so on. It's really good.
Now, you say in your article you got around a lot by bus and ferry.
Yeah, it's the best way to travel. Like, you got to remember, Sydney is a big city. It's 4 million people. They don't have throughways and big interstate highways that you know can take you from one part of the city to another. So really, the best way to travel is to, you know, is to not even bother getting a car or renting a car, but to get these passes. And the passes cover you for their subway, for their buses, and for the ferry. So you can go on any one of the three with the same pass, and it really works well.
Now, of course, Australia is a great surfing place, and I spent a little time up in Surfers Paradise and all of those places, and as you say in your article, instead of spending time in the malls, the Sydneyers congregate at the beaches at every opportunity, which is a nice way to go.
It's their way of life, you know. People, when they have some spare time, that's where they go. They go to the beaches, and the whole coast from north of Sydney right through Sydney down to south of Sydney is one bay. A headland and another bay with a beach, a headland, another bay with a beach, and they have about 20 marvelous beaches, and they're all surf beaches with great waves pounding in from way out in the Pacific, and glorious white sand, and of course a great hot sun, you know, blazing down from above.
And of course you have the Great Barrier Reef for snorkeling.
Yeah, the Great Barrier Reef is quite a bay north of Sydney, though.
We're concentrating on Sydney. So is Surfers Paradise. You're more or less in the Bondi Manly beach areas, is what you're talking
about.
That's
right. Yeah, the Sydney beaches.
The Sydney beaches. Yeah, but you said that there are a lot of helicopters flying around, which are basically doing shark updates to local radios, and I'm sure they're checking out some of the bathing suits and ladies on the beach as well.
Well, it's kind of strange. Like, you know, when we first, like here, you have helicopters doing traffic reports,
right,
you know, to the news stations.
Right.
Well, down there they have the same thing, but they're providing shark updates, and they literally have helicopters on the busy weekends going up and down the coast there, along the beaches, and just checking for sharks and radioing and warnings, I guess, to the lifeguards and to the beaches. And we actually were there one day when that happened. It was just amazing. Like, the helicopter gave a warning, and you know, some sort of sirens went off, the beach emptied. Boy, those Australians can really swim fast when
I would guess.
Like that happens.
I guess that's the first thing you learn as a kid getting in the water is how to get out quick.
Yeah, for sure.
But then
a big power boat went out and chased the sharks away, and then a few minutes later we're all busy swimming in the ocean again. But some of us stayed a lot closer to the shore than we did before.
Now, but you did go on to say, and as I well know, that they have these life-saving clubs, and they're really a great, dedicated group of people.
Yeah, I've got to say this. Australians are fantastic athletes, and one of the places where you see it best personified is in their life-saving clubs. And these clubs have saved thousands of lives, and these people... every beach has their own club, and they compete against each other, but they practice all these skills. Like, they practice going out on surfboards or in their big road boats or swimming out, towing a line. And just to see these people, they're fabulous athletes. They're young, good-looking people, both male and female. And it's one of the most exciting things that I've seen is actually some of their surfing competitions when these clubs compete against each other.
Did you have any problems adjusting to some of this topless bathing?
Yeah, I had a sore neck for weeks. It is a wonderful habit down there, particularly the younger ladies. They will quite often bathe topless. And yes, it's for an old geezer like me. I quite often had whiplash. And
the wife kind of nudging you with her elbow?
I had to keep a brave face because, pretend I wasn't watching because the wife was with me.
And you get a little elbow on your side every now and then. You
know, did I ever, yeah. The cuter they were, the harder the elbow.
Right. Now, we also know that, and as you mentioned in your article, the other big interesting things that people do there, of course, one of the big interests is sailing.
Yeah, I've got to tell you about the sailing. One of my dreams in my life has always been to go sailing on Sydney Harbor. You know, that's been the sort of the top of my list of things to do before I die.
Right.
And one day, I was very lucky that some friends of ours took me out, and actually it was their kids. There's about 10 university-age kids on this huge boat. It was about a 40- or 50-footer sailboat, and they're doing an informal Wednesday night race, and it was quite a puffy day, and it was just marvelous out there. You know, we were tacking back and forth, and the harbor is just loaded with boats. You have boats of every size, you know, from kayaks up to huge ocean-going freighters. But tons of sailboats, and the whole harbor is just white with billowing sails. It's gorgeous, and it's so exciting. Like, you know, we were tacking back and forth. As I say, it was quite breezy, and every time we tacked, of course, the boat would heel way over on the other side, and we're all drinking beer. So it's not easy to flip from one side of the boat to the other, hanging on with one hand, and with the other hand clutching a Victoria Bitter or a Foster's,
right,
and so on. But the highlight came for me is at the end of the day. This is an evening race, so as the sun set and the race was over, dusk came, the wind got quite still, quite soft, and there was a beautiful red tinge on the horizon, and light started coming on in the houses around us, and they let me sail the boat back, and we sailed underneath the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and then past the Opera House, with this glorious dusk, with the golden light and pink and pastels on the clouds on the horizon, and the lights of Sydney all around us. It was really one of the most beautiful sights, one of the most beautiful experiences of my entire life.
And they also have a lot of rowing clubs there, I understand.
Rowing?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they do. They're quite big on rowing, but that's done not so much
Harbor,
but on lakes and rivers inland. But the rowing they have is mostly the rowing I saw anyway in Sydney was mostly done by these life-saving clubs. Where they row their big life-saving boats out into the ocean.
Which is basically practice stuff, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and that's pretty exciting, too, because you have to get up past the surf and breakers to do that.
Well, it is the Opera House is absolutely gorgeous, and it is so beautiful to, as you say, passing the Opera House, going onto the Sydney Harbour Bridge. But I must tell you something. I was on an aircraft carrier, and when we got into Sydney Harbour, and... we couldn't get under the bridge. And of course, you know, everybody's saying, "Oh no, Sydney Harbour Bridge!" You know, so we had to anchor out. And I thought it was really quite amusing, because one thinks you take everything into concern when you build something like that. But who would expect an American aircraft carrier to come through there? So,
Well, I'll tell you, it's the right place to go if you're traveling by sea, is to come into Sydney, you know, from the harbor, from the ocean side like that. It sounds like it was a marvelous treat for you.
Now, did you find there were any pubs in town?
Oh, pubs, yeah. the food and the pubs are fabulous.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, but the pubs, they're all self-service, which is nice. You just wander up to the bar and get your drinks and go back to your table or your little stand-up area. Much cheaper than in Canada here, and presumably in the States as well. So people tend to, in that wonderful warm climate, tend to knock back a few, and we certainly enjoy many a brew. But the thing I've got to tell you about, Roy, and I'm sure you remember this, is that they have fabulous restaurants. And the restaurants, almost all of them, or a good portion of them, are bring your own wine. And there's no tipping. Australia doesn't. There's no tipping in Australia.
Isn't that built, though? Don't they build in something into the check?
Yeah, it's built into. Well,
it's built into the bill,
wages,
right?
To their staff.
Right, right.
And so therefore, they don't have to feel that they got to get extra money from tips.
Right.
And on top of that, the taxes are built into it as well. So
I see.
The price you see is the price you pay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a really good bottle of Australian wine, like excellent bottle of Australian wine for, you know, $8 to $10 Australian, and you bring that into the restaurant with you. And people are constantly jumping up, racing out of the restaurant,
running out of wine, getting more, and coming back.
Really nice wine. And it's, you almost can't afford to eat out every night because it's so cheap and so much fun.
And you know, the Australian wines are quite good, actually. They're Shiraz and some of the others. When I was going, the Australian wines didn't travel very well, but they must have come up with something, because I buy quite a few Australian wines here because I quite like them.
Yeah, and you're quite right. The Australian wines have become world class, and they're certainly my most popular wine. And I know that when I'm at the liquor store here in Canada, that the most popular brands are the Australian ones.
Yep, that's good stuff. Hans, a very interesting article. It's a great destination, and I'm glad you've got to experience it probably more than once, I would think.
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
Exactly.
I might go again.
And we've got to run, and we look forward to the next time.
Okay, Roy. Well, it's been great talking travel with you again.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, that was Hans Tamamagi, and we're going to go to a quick break. And let's see, when we come back, we're going to have another Destination Karen piece, Destination Canada piece by Karen LaPerry. I'm just kind of stumbling over things here this morning. So stay with us. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
Native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks. All-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again.